I feel like, does anybody else remember the Quiet Riot from the 80s? I'm feeling like I should have a little more hair. I am a Kentucky proud farmer. My family lives and farms on a small, sustainable family farm at the western foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. I like to always start, this is a little different format for me. This room is very big, so. But I always like to start by telling everybody that I, first and foremost in my life, I am an agrarian. And so I like to, usually I'll ask people what that means, but I don't think anybody's gonna hear you if you answer me. So if we could hit a slide. I do, I have these two slides there. I can't see them because I have to stand here by the microphone. So I'm working by memory that the one on the my right is actually the hemp that was grown from the first crop in 2014. I put that photo on the slide because that was actually woven into the flag that we'll be talking about briefly in a minute. And that is my my son and I this year planting the spring's hemp crop on our family's farm. So you can see that quote? That's a guy I really look up to named Wendell Berry. When I say I'm an agrarian, that stirs a lot of meanings, but I think this quote, it proposes a conscious and careful recognition of the interdependence between ourselves and nature. And in fact, that has always existed. If we are to live, it must continue to exist. So an agrarian is, to me, is someone who recognizes that we every day, whether we want to admit it or not, participate in nature. And more importantly, we recognize the limits of the natural environment that we live in.
Woo!
Greetings from Kentucky. It's the bluegrass state. So let's hit another slide. We're gonna have some fun, I guess. I actually got involved with industrial hemp, not out of a concern for advocacy for industrial hemp. I spent a lot of years working as a family farm advocate. So I gladly helped with legislation and policy for industrial hemp because it was an opportunity to remove a law from farmers, and I usually am fighting laws. So when Kentucky passed Senate Bill 50, when Fibershed, who is one of the partners in our cloth project that I'm here to talk about today, approached me, I really didn't have any interest in growing hemp because it is an industrial crop. And as I said, I farm on a farm that has 12 tillable acres because we're in the mountains, and in no universe is something industrial going to fit on my land and make money. But because of a friend, Alvina Maynard, who, well, we're not going to watch a video about because there's no video, right, Captain? So that's a link to the video you can look up on the internet. But she introduced me to the folks at Fibershed, and Fibershed sent me a little video of a monk in New Hampshire hand processing flax and spinning it on a wheel and putting it on a loom. In about 7 minutes, I was, you know, the agrarian and the cottage industry guy in me just came afire. And so we wrote this proposal to our ag commissioner that we wanted to work with Patagonia and Fibershed to develop a sustainable blend of fiber with utilizing Kentucky hemp, Siri alpaca, and Kathy Myers' sheep. This video would show you the great partnership and the camaraderie that came together for this project. So I encourage you to do a little search for the Kentucky Cloth Project on the internet and watch a little 5-minute video and get excited about what happens when a bunch of people come together to accomplish something. During the journey with the Kentucky Cloth Project, we scheduled a planting and got some funding. I'd like to give a shout out to our friends at Vote Hemp, who gave us funding for a planting ceremony. We flew in 50 or so veterans from around the country to plant hemp that was, we were then shut down by the DEA. And we're pretty frustrated, and during that frustration, one of the veterans that was with us said to the local newspaper that it's kind of farcical that they're coming in and stopping us from planting very cloth that was originally used for the flag. After several weeks of harassment on the farm with the Blackhawks on a daily basis, we conceived the Kentucky Flag Project, and we see it here today. You know, this flag, it has a lot of meaning to it, and we'll talk about that. But this was made with all of the dyes in this flag were grown in the United States. The recipes were colonial era recipes. We had to source 200 and 300 year old pieces of equipment. The natter comes from Missouri. It was dyed in Tennessee, hand woven in Kentucky. It is a 50-50 blend that was intentional, and I'll go back into that as well. But it's organic biodynamic cotton. The other 50% of the flag is. The flag, as I said, it took a bunch of different people doing a bunch of different pieces, and so it gathered meaning. And I typically won't do this, but I'll let this happen today because of the meaning of the flag. But I'll just close with, I made a lot of friends. I worked with a lot of people I would never have had the privilege of working with, or even had a beer or made love to a microphone with or anything. So I close with saying that if you think of how things are today, they're very smooth and uniform. And I think about this flag, and I think about all those different people that helped me make it and helped us create this vision. You know, our country is rough around the edges. It has depth. It has texture. We all have different shapes, and we all have different sizes. So I really, you know, it was a privilege, a very simple thing, like coming together with a bunch of people and saying, we're going to make something the way they did 300 years ago, changed my life. And it will now change the life of farmers throughout the Commonwealth of Kentucky and in Oregon. So that's all I have to say. If you want to come touch the material and see what we're talking about or ask any questions, I'm here.